Okay, if someone has a homosexual spirit, but they're not giving into the sin, I call it fasting it, and they're going after God, would they go to heaven? I believe they would. It's sad that they won't come and get free, and it's sad that the church won't set them free. Okay, because that's the same thing as saying, okay, if I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling and I have an issue with lying, if I die before I get that issue worked out, do I go to hell? No. But there's a difference between a hypocrite, because the Bible says a hypocrite is going to be in hell. What's the difference? And that's why the Bible says judge nothing before it's time. Don't judge by appearances. In other words, there could be someone who has a homosexual spirit or a fornicating spirit, adultery spirit, lying spirit. They're all the same. It's just that one you can kind of zero in on. If that person thinks that that is okay with God and they're a hypocrite, in other words, they're living, they're acting like they're spiritual and religious, but they're living a lie, they're not fooling God. Now, let me say this. If someone has the Holy Spirit working in their lives and they open up to truth, God will set them free. God will set you free. And I'm not just talking, I am talking from experience. We have been used by God to set people free from homosexuality, and it has been easier than setting people free from cigarette smoking. Yep. Setting somebody free from, why do people not believe that? Because reprobate thinking in our society says, hey, it's the way you're born. Well, I don't question that you could be born that way, because if it's a family curse, then the moment you come out, that devil's already going after you. But that doesn't change truth. That doesn't change truth. And the problem is people don't have enough revelation of truth to help people. If that person, I don't know this person, can the person who has a homosexual spirit have the fruit of the spirit? Not unless they hate that sin and they're asking God to help them get free. If they hate that sin and they're asking God to help them get free, yes, the Holy Spirit can work in their life. If they're a hypocrite and they think that sin is okay and it's not a sin, no. But you can have good works with no Holy Spirit in you. Works are not equivalent to the Holy Spirit. And that's why you're going to be surprised at how many people are going to be thrown in hell at Judgment Day who thought they were good. And there's going to be a lot of people going into heaven that everybody thought was bad. Because God does judge us by the heart of man. And when I mean that, it's not some flippy excuse for sin. It's God going, I know exactly what he's been through. I know the devil's attacking him. I know the things that happened in his life. And I'm his only judge. And I see a heart that's trying to get free. And I see a heart that's crying out to me. And that heart that's being drawn to God and drawn to being holy is going to go to heaven. But you can have somebody else who looks like they've got it all together, but have blatant sin in their life, or hidden, just attitude sin, but they don't care anything about God. And they're a hypocrite. So that's why it's not up to us to figure that out. I just have to know in my own life, I'm going after God. And I have to see. And the thing that's really cool with this teaching on reprobate, because the church has so misunderstood this, I believe, because God starts that whole teaching in Romans, and we've looked at it, but he starts that whole teaching talking about homosexuality, and everybody zeroes in on that, and they don't read the rest. And pretty soon, it's like, oh, you know, reprobates. Well, read the rest. Gossips are reprobates. Liars are reprobates. Anyone who does any wickedness is a reprobate. But the truth is, from the Word of God, the Bible says that when you get the log out of your eye, you now can touch the splinter. The church cannot help homosexuals get free until they get the reprobate, the rest of the list in Romans, out of their hearts. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's what we've been working on. I think that's exciting. Yes. Because we're going to begin to see people who thought there were no hope for them, people who felt like they were too wicked, too dirty, being drawn to Beauty for Ashes, and other ministries that are getting free, because they're going to see a people who love them and don't judge them, but truly have the power of God and authority of God to help them get free. Why? Because we got free ourselves. You know, when you zero in on specific sin issues, all you're doing is trying to protect yourself from your own junk. That's why Jesus says, judge nothing before it's time. Nothing. Two things can look exactly the same. One could be on their way to heaven, and one could be on their way to hell. And God also is the only one who knows. And I've learned this. You know, if you've had a pretty nice little life and a pretty nice little childhood and everything's coming up roses and, you know, and you get saved and whatever. And so you get saved, you fall in love with God, and you go right through life, and it's never, you know, you can just live for God and follow the rules and maybe even get God changing your heart. Well, that's great. Before Christ and the Word of God was legalism, it actually still helped you live a moral life to keep you from being demonized. So the Jews who lived according to the commandments of God, and nobody could live to all of them, but to the best that they followed them, kept them safe from demonic activity. Many of us were brought up in Christian homes, or let me say church homes, and maybe nobody even knew God. But if we tried to follow everything in here, it will keep you safe. For it won't save you, but it'll keep you from probably getting AIDS, and it'll keep you from being a drug addict, and it'll keep you from going to jail. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's what the law, you know, was sent to do until Christ. But when Christ comes and lives inside of a believer, he actually changes you from the inside out. He changes that heart of wickedness so you actually don't want to sin anymore. He actually makes it so lying is foreign to you. I don't cuss, not because I try not to cuss now, but when God came in and dealt with that, cussing would seem stupid to me. It's not something that would pop in my head any longer. But if you're someone coming out of a really hurtful environment and you've got a lot of demonic things that have happened in your life, it may take somebody walking with you, encouraging you, lifting you up, forgiving you, helping you clean up, putting up with a few things. That's where the church has missed it. The church has been fine for the people who had their good bags together and could come and all wear nice suits or nice Sunday dresses and have a nice little social meeting and clap about how great we are because we know God. But the church has failed miserably overall, at least in America, to minister to the people who have had horrible lives, who hate themselves, who feel horrible about themselves, and cannot even hear the word of God without feeling condemned because no one helped them get free. God's going to change all that, I believe. I believe the apostolic move is going to be a people getting so free from judging and so free from what the enemy's done in their past that they can minister to others with true love and compassion. Won't that be awesome? That's going to be cool. And I personally know God's done that in my life because a few years ago, most of you wouldn't have sat here or liked me because I ministered much more out of knowledge and all the good stuff I knew than from really beginning to understand how all this works and how the enemy is so horrible. Now when I see horrible things, when I see people fall back into sin, when I see people bound with homosexuality or fornication, whatever it is, now my heart goes, oh, Lord, if we could only help them to get free from what the enemy's done, get free from reprobate. And so tonight, for those who've been coming for a while, I believe this is going to be like a conclusion on the reprobate understanding. I don't even know what God's doing next because we've been doing this since January. We were more reprobate than we thought. Ha! You know. So, and let me say this. And some people come to our meetings for the first time and they're kind of confused because we're going to do an altar call tonight for murder and stuff. And then everybody's going to probably run up who's got the revelation and they're going to go, those people are preaching on the radio and this, and they went up for an altar call on murder. Well, the Bible says if you thought it, you've done it. So he's not saying, okay, only those of you who've actually killed somebody and you know, you should be in prison, you come up. When God does it, he goes, no, if this spirit is in your heart because you live in a reprobate world, get free. Get that log out of your eye so you can minister to others. See, I always thought that you know, where you had authority was where you had victory, and that's true. But I didn't realize until recently, even more like right now what he's telling me, we all have had it all. Yeah. We've all had all this horrible stuff in our lives. And if we can get those logs out of our hearts and out of our spirits, we can minister to anyone. Because I can have true compassion for a murderer if I begin to see where I had wished somebody had been dead. Or maybe you were pregnant and you wish that you had miscarried. That's murder. Or you went as far, or you got a girl pregnant and you wish she'd miscarried, or you paid for the abortion. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of ways to realize, ooh, we've murdered. Or I wish that person would just die or whatever. And God's setting us free from all of this.